For 31 years, Zeke the Turtle lived in the home of Bob and Debbie Young in Beverly, Massachusetts. Then on July 30th, 2012, the little turtle made his escape. The cat had clawed open the screen door on the back porch, and Zeke, the prodigal turtle, was on the run. When the Youngs realized he was gone, they placed an ad in the local paper, put up flyers around town, used the services of a search and rescue dog trained to track down reptiles. They even offered a cash reward to find Zeke safe and bring him home. Finally, their neighbor's golden retriever sniffed out Zeke. He was hiding in some ivy. Zeke's attempt to run away covered all of 1,000 feet. That's as far as Zeke got. The neighbor told reporters he was just sitting there in the lawn, just waiting to be found. It was easy pickings. The Youngs called me and couldn't believe it. They were thrilled. But you know what? We are not so different than Zeke. We run away from God, but we don't get very far either. We think we're running, but He's always watching. And in the end, we're just sitting there waiting for God to find us so we can go home too. His grace tracks us down eventually, because you can never outrun God's grace. We repent because the Savior searches. Repentance, it's an often misunderstood term. We think repentance is about, you know, saying we're sorry because we did something. If we just say we're sorry, then everything will be forgiven and everything will go back to normal. It's a bit like teaching our children, you know, Billy hits Susie and Susie cries out to Mommy, and Mommy says, Billy, say you're sorry, and Susie, you forgive him, and now it's all back to normal. And we have that same childlike tendency to think of repentance as adults and repentance with God, and it isn't like that at all. Repentance is not just about what we did, but who we are. What we do is a symptom of who we really are inside. And repentance deals with who we are. And only God can change who we are. So Jesus tells us three stories in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 is one of the most loved chapters in all of Scripture. These stories are classic stories that we love to rehearse and remember. Three stories, all three stories deal with repentance. Jesus actually tells us that at the end of each story, that this has to do with repentance. But they all focus on what God does, not what we do. The Savior searches for us until we are found. Repentance is literally a willingness to be found by Jesus. That's what repentance is. God rejoices when we repent, but we repent because the Savior searches. Let's look at the first two stories in Luke 15 this morning, and we see two principles about Christ's search for us in these stories. Principle number one, we are loved even when we wander. We are loved even when we wander. Verse 1, Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders, began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "One man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which he lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost." I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Holy people don't spend time with unholy people. The righteous don't eat dinner with the unrighteous. That was the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of their day, and it is quite commonly the attitude of religious people today as well. Religious people divide the world into two categories. There's the good category of people and there's the bad category of people, and the good people don't spend time with the bad people lest they be contaminated by the bad people. Well, Jesus drove the religious leaders crazy because he was always spending time with the bad guys. The text says that he was eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. These were the hated, loathed people of their culture. The word sinner actually means immoral person. And here he was spending time with immoral people. The Jewish rabbis actually had a saying that there was joy in heaven when those who opposed God were killed. That was their saying, their teaching. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Get rid of those who oppose God. That was the attitude of the religious leaders. The idea that God would search for sinners, for immoral people, was outrageous to the Jewish rabbis. The Jewish rabbis also taught that God would rejoice, of course, if a sinner repented, but he would never search out sinners to try and get them to repent. So Jesus tells these stories. And the gist of the stories is that God searches for unrepentant sinners. That's what he does. He doesn't seek the righteous. He seeks the unrighteous. God pursues those who wander away. He doesn't quickly give up on people like we often do. Now, the people were familiar with the scene. They lived in villages. They were shepherds. The shepherds are out in the wilderness tending their flocks, and one of the sheep wanders away. Well, that was a very common assurance. Sheep are stupid. Sheep are helpless. They're always wandering away. That's what they do. Now, these were communal flocks. The average Palestinian had about 10 or 15 sheep. He felt well off if he had 10 or 15. And so they would group the flocks together, and someone from each family would go and tend the flocks out in the fields, out in the wilderness. So here's this one sheep wanders away. The shepherd who is tending that group of sheep goes off in search of this sheep that has wandered away. And the other shepherds take all the flocks and they head back to the village at night. And the whole village would be waiting for the shepherd to return that evening, and they would rejoice as a community when the shepherd returned with the sheep. And in the same way, Jesus says, we as Christians should be eagerly waiting for God to rescue sinners today. And we should rejoice when anyone is rescued by Jesus. God searches for sinners. Ezekiel the prophet wrote these words hundreds of years before Christ told this story. God said, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick." That's what God does. The philosopher Pascal came to understand this truth after finally turning to God. He sensed God saying to him, he said, "You would not be searching for me had I not already found you." That's Luke 15. God initiates, we respond. God searches, we repent. There's no other way to change who you are. We can't do it. We are wandering sheep, helpless, lost, stupid. It's what we do. We are wandering sheep waiting for a Savior who rescues us from the dangers of life. So repentance is a willingness to be found. Are you willing to be found by Jesus? He's searching for you. Now, you may have seen in the news last Saturday about the 9-year-old boy who was lost for more than 9 hours last Friday night in the woods near the Aroostook County line. Rowan Ross left the Katahdin Middle School in Stacyville at noontime. He just walked out of school and headed off into the woods. A massive search began with game wardens, sheriff's deputies, state troopers, search dogs, and hundreds of volunteers on foot and on snowmobiles searching the woods. The temperatures were well below freezing, and 9-year-old Rowan would not last long in those temperatures. A search team that included a game warden, a Baxter Park ranger, and a search dog found Rowan about 9:45 Friday night, sitting under a tree. Ross knew he was lost and walked until it got dark, at which time he sat down and waited to be rescued, Lieutenant Dan Scott said. If you are here this morning and you've been running from God, stop running. Just stop running. You're lost. Like Ross Rowan, you're lost. Stop running. Sit down. Wait for Him. He's coming to rescue you. Jesus is searching for you. He loves you even when you've wandered away from Him. He wants to bring you home to His home. He's like the shepherd looking for his lost sheep. So if you're wandering, stop, sit, and wait. That's repentance. Notice, by the way, that the shepherd rejoices twice in this story. The shepherd, first of all, rejoices when he finds his sheep out there in some crevice on some forgotten hillside in the wilderness, and he picks the sheep up and he puts it on his shoulders to carry the sheep home, and he rejoices. You know, the shepherd doesn't grumble. He doesn't say, "You stupid sheep. You made me search all this time for you, and now I got to carry you because you're too worn out even to walk home." The shepherd doesn't say that. He doesn't grumble about carrying the sheep. He rejoices to carry that little sheep. And Jesus rejoices to carry you. He is filled with joy. You are not a burden on His shoulders. He loves you even when you've wandered away from Him. The second time the shepherd rejoices is when he gets back to the village. This time the whole village, the text says, rejoices with him. It's a party. All of heaven shouts with joy when a single sinner repents, Jesus says. I always like baptismal services, you know, because we're celebrating in symbol a new life in Christ. And when the person comes up out of the water, we clap and celebrate and praise God. Why? New life. It's a symbol of new life. That's worth celebrating. We'll probably have another baptismal service, perhaps up to Papoose Pond this year again. So if you're interested, talk with Pastor Mark or Pastor Tom. A life has been changed by God's grace. That is absolutely worth celebrating anytime. All heaven rejoices when lives are changed by the gospel. Nathan Cole, a Connecticut farmer converted to Jesus Christ in the 1740s, described what happened to him under the preaching of the famous evangelist George Whitefield. He said, "My hearing the good news of Jesus gave me a heart wound. By God's blessing, my old foundation was broken up, and I saw that my righteousness would not save me." Notice what Jesus says in verse 7. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Stop trying to justify yourself. It won't work. It never does. Our goodness can never save us. God has to break us up. God has to break up the old foundation on which we build our lives in order to build a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Repentance is letting God break up the foundation. All that stuff that makes you who you are, that you've built your life upon, let God break it up. Let Him have it. Let Jesus tear it down and replace it with a whole new life in Christ. You say, "Well, Dave, you know, I'm not all that bad. I can manage on my own. I do good things. I got this, God." If you're saying that, then, my friend, you are still running away from God. You're not ready to repent. And you're not ready to be found by His grace. But here's what I want you to remember, if that's what you're saying. I want you to remember that Jesus is still searching for you. He still loves you even when you won't accept Him. He still seeks you with everything that He has, even as you reject Him. He's not giving up on you, even though you don't realize how lost you really are. He still seeks you because He loves you, even when you don't accept His love. Isn't that beautiful? He's still coming after you. And let me tell you something, you won't outrun His grace. His grace is going to reach you. The second story teaches us that we are precious even when we are lost. We are precious even when we are lost. Verse 8. Or, second story, what woman, if she has 10 silver coins, loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully, diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So here's the second story, a woman has 10 silver coins, she loses one of them. And she starts to look everywhere. She lights a lamp, she searches her house, she sweeps all the corners, she looks everywhere for her lost coin. Jesus pictures a poor Palestinian house. The houses of that day would be very dark, even in the daytime. Typically, a Palestinian house of that time would have one window up high. It would be about 18 inches in diameter. That's the only light that came from outside. So she would have to light a lamp to carry around with her. The floors were hard-packed dirt floors, got dirty and dusty, so they would often cover those dirt floors with dried reeds or rushes to make them a little more comfortable, keep the dust down and all of that. Searching for a coin dropped on a Palestinian floor literally was like searching for a needle in a haystack with all the hay and straw spread around on the floor. Not easy. The woman would be diligently cleaning the floor, sweeping up, carefully searching for the lost coin. And God does exactly the same with each and every one of us. He searches diligently for us. He searches for us right smack in the middle of our messes. Mike Silva and his family were staying at a hotel in Nigeria, West Africa. Heard a knock at the door. He opened it and found a smiling Nigerian gentleman standing there ready to clean their room. And he felt a little embarrassed because he looked at the room and it was a disaster. There were curling irons everywhere. There were clothes strewn all over, beds unmade, dirty towels on the floor of the bathroom. It was just a disaster. And so he sort of apologized to the Nigerian gentleman. But the young man replied very graciously, "No problem, sir. For this reason, I have come to put your things in order." I love that statement. "For this reason, I have come to put your things in order." That's the gospel, folks. That's what Jesus says to each and every one of them. "For this reason, I have come to put your life in order." That's the good news of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, "Clean up your mess first." He says, "No, I came for this reason, for your mess. To put your life in order." We may be lost like a needle in a haystack, surrounded by the mess of everyday life. God searches for us. We may be lost in the accumulated dirt of all of our choices. God searches for us. God sweeps up our dirt to find us. Why? You're precious to Him. I'm precious to Him. I'm worth it. So are you. You are a coin God treasures even in the mess, even though you're lost. Now, the coin is the drachma, which was equal to the wages of a worker for one day. So this is about equivalent in monetary value to one day's work wages. And that's valuable. When money is scarce in a poor home, one day's wages could mean the difference between supper that night or no supper that night. But there may well be more to this story than the monetary value of a single coin. You see, the coin may well have been part of a necklace. Palestinian women wore a necklace made of silver coins. They wore it like jewelry. It was jewelry to them, probably given by her husband. The coin may also have been a part of her dowry. Palestinian women sometimes wore a headdress made of silver coins wrapped around their heads. And that headdress of silver coins was part of their dowry when they got married. It was a prized piece of jewelry, or even similar to what we would say would be a wedding ring or a diamond engagement ring. No wonder the woman searched for it. It wasn't just the monetary value of a single coin. It may well have been her wedding band or her diamond engagement ring. She searched hard for that. It was precious, irreplaceable. Colin Dickman said she accidentally threw out her wedding ring after cooking dinner one Sunday night, and she only realized it was missing the next morning. She ran out to the garbage, but the garbage truck had come by and picked up the garbage that day. So she chased down the garbage truck and its driver. She told him about it, and the driver called Edward Wiggins, sanitation site crew leader at the town's Department of Environmental Control. Wiggins said he and the driver immediately stopped the route. They started digging for about 3 hours through 6 tons of trash, of garbage. Dickman said, in that moment, I thought, I'm not going to find it. I didn't see it. It's not there. I'll never find this. It's gone. But finally, after 4 hours, they spotted the lost ring. Dickman said it brought her to tears. Her wedding band was found. Show her appreciation. She later baked brownies, bought pizza for the crew, fed them at lunchtime. She was so thrilled. We're really glad we were able to help her and get her ring back, Wiggins said. To be honest, in the 41 years I've been here, we've only been able to successfully recover lost items 3 times. We got her wedding ring. God searches for you like Colin searched for her wedding ring. God searches through 6 tons of garbage if he has to find you. Religious people think, yeah, don't go digging through the garbage. You might be contaminated. You'll get dirty. You'll stink. What's lost is lost. Let it be. And God says, no, I don't do that. I'll search through the garbage to find you. I'm after you. We are precious to God. God has no problem getting his hands dirty, digging through garbage to find us, and he searches until he gets us. That's a foreign concept to religion. Many religious people pride themselves on keeping the law and avoiding being contaminated by sinners. We got to be righteous after all. In fact, the Jewish rabbis, remember Jesus, that's who Jesus is talking to here. The Jewish rabbis demonstrated the way many of their religious people thought. The Jewish rabbis had a lost coin story that they commonly used. And Jesus would have known that. He surely had probably heard them use the lost coin story before in the synagogues, in teaching the people. But their lost coin story was very different from Jesus' lost coin story. The Jewish rabbis taught that you should seek the law the way a person searches for a lost coin. That was their lost coin story. Isn't that interesting? We should seek to keep the law the way a person seeks to find a lost coin, according to the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Well, Jesus sets that teaching completely on its ear. Jesus says, God seeks immoral people, lawbreakers, not law keepers. The way a person searches for precious coins, that's the way God searches for lawbreakers. You know what? We are precious to God despite the fact that every single one of us in this room today are lawbreakers. We're sinners. St. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote that tears of the repentant form the wine of the angels. So what does God do? God says, all heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. God throws a party. God throws a party in heaven when even one lawbreaker repents. God doesn't throw a party in heaven when good people continue to look good. God doesn't throw a party in heaven when we come to church. God doesn't throw a party in heaven when we give lots of money in the offering plate. God throws a party in heaven when one rotten, immoral, law-breaking person repents. That's when God throws a party in heaven. When one sinful person is snatched from the fires of hell, God throws a party. All the angels rejoice. with God in heaven when one person is found. That's God's love. That's how precious each and every person in this world is to him. Ted Kidd was 5 years older than Janet. He finished college before her, started to work in a city hundreds of miles away from her. They always seemed to be in different places in their lives, but they'd been dating for 7 years. And every Valentine's Day, Ted proposed to her, asked her to marry him. And every Valentine's Day, she turned him down. No, not now. Finally, they were both living in Dallas, Texas. Ted had reached the end of his patience, so he bought a ring, and he took Janet to a romantic restaurant. He wined and dined her that night. Everything he could do, he was prepared to reinforce his final proposal with the ring. Another no, another rejection, and he said that was it. He was done. He had to get on with his life. He just couldn't keep taking rejections from her. So after salad, dinner, dessert, in a wonderfully romantic spot, he summoned up his courage for another go at it. Only she had a gift to give to him. And so he said, okay, go ahead. He would take her gift first. She handed him a box the size of a book. He opened the package, slowly peeled away the wrapping paper, and it was a cross stitch that she had made, and it had one word on it. Yes. 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 Yes is the answer God is waiting to hear from every sinner in this world. Yes is what God is longing to hear from every broken person in this world. He continues to ask. He continues to offer. He continues to reach. Will you say yes to Jesus today? Jesus keeps loving on you. Jesus keeps searching for you. He keeps rescuing people from jams that they get themselves into. Jesus gives second, third, fourth, fifth chances to people. The Bible tells us that God is not willing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's his desire. He wants all. How many times will you turn him down? How many times will you say, I don't need you, Jesus. I got this. I've got life under control. I can find my own way. I can make it on my own. How many times will you reject him? His grace keeps coming. He keeps loving on you. He keeps waiting for you to say yes. Will you say yes today? Father, I can't fathom your grace. It is truly amazing grace. It is grace that searches through the garbage of this world. It is grace that seeks through the messes of my choices. It is grace that continually reaches out to me, even as one of yours, and even having said yes, I still need your grace every day. And Father, your grace is reaching out to people right now all over this world. You are seeking them as you seek us. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room today who has turned your love down, has rejected your grace, has run away, I pray that they will stop, sit, wait, and accept your grace and say yes to you forever. In your Son's precious name, amen.